Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tahfayi. In Jordan, King Abdullah II announced for Parliament to be dissolved, paving the way for early elections. But taking a look at the heart of the matter, it's a lack of solid reforms, and politically, Jordanians, of whom 60% are Palestinians, well, they're calling for a parliamentary system where the prime minister is elected rather than named by the king. With one of the largest protests to have taken place today, has the so-called Arab Spring reached Jordan? If so, the bigger question is, how has Jordan been able to prevent it so far? We'll be discussing Jordan in this news analysis and the consequences were the king to fall, especially in regards to one of its neighbors, Israel, and what it could mean if the U.S. were to lose another ally.
Protests erupt in Jordan once again. Tens of thousands take to the streets calling for genuine and far-reaching political and constitutional reforms. Jordan has been the scene of peaceful protests since 2011. Inspired by the uprisings in Tunisia, Egypt, and Yemen, the protesters have demanded the reform of the government, thereafter limiting King Abdullah's powers. Jordan is one of the monarchies in the Middle East with all executive powers literally in the king's hands. But the people want a parliamentary system where the premier is elected by people. The latest protest was called by the country's main opposition party, the Muslim Brotherhood. It comes only a day after King Abdullah II dissolved the parliament. It is the third time that he dissolves the Chamber of Deputies. The last time he did so was in 2009. Friday's protests under the dissolution of parliament come amid mounting opposition anger at the electoral law passed in July by the government. The king has promised political reforms a number of times.
By establishing such liberties in the Constitution, we hope to institutionalize citizen activism and effective public participation in the legislative process, as well as the formation of governments, so that we can move from a phase of sloganeering to opening channels of activism and real-life engagement in political parties, unions, or youth movements.
But it seems that what the king meant by reforms was different from what the Jordanians have been calling for. Democratic electoral law. Constitutional changes. Governments chosen through parliamentary polls. Independent judiciary. Constitutional court. Effective anti-corruption efforts. And a ban on the powerful security services from interfering in politics. Following the dissolution of parliament, the main political groups announced that they will boycott the upcoming elections, citing a lack of genuine reforms. It seems that more anti-government demonstrations will take place in the future as the protesters continue to press for their demands. Protests have so far been peaceful, with demonstrators stopping short of calling for the king's ouster. But if King Abdullah fails to fulfill the people's demands, the public might go ahead with demanding his fall. Jordan is a main ally of the US, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. So any political change in the country will definitely affect these countries. And the ramifications of a possible ouster of the king could affect the entire region.
We will see King Abdullah in Jordan as long as the Americans and the West and Zionists want him there. He is linked to them.
Despite the call for reforms, Jordan has so far avoided a political upheaval. But what will future have in stake for the country if the reforms the opposition demands are not implemented?
And that's exactly what we're going to be asking our guests. Let me introduce our first guest, writer and political commentator, Nasser Al-Omari, joins us from New York. Nasser Al-Omari, welcome. Let's start off with what your reading is of the scale of the Friday's protest. It's one of the largest that the country has witnessed for several years, and the fact that the protests came one day after the king dissolved parliament.
Yes, the demonstrations today were vast. We have seen the participation of all kinds of people from various political convictions. Of course, the Muslim Brotherhood led the effort today. They called for these demonstrations. But the level of involvement in the process of demonstrating against against the government and against the regime have reached into areas where the king usually enjoys traditional support. So I think it's vast and it's expanding, and we'll probably see more expansion in the near future.
So when you're saying that they've reached areas where the king usually has traditional support, you're saying that the king's support has decreased? And what would the reasons for that be?
I think in areas where the king has usually enjoyed, and the regime in general has usually enjoyed its traditional support, we have seen the demonstrations calling for the downfall of the king in some situations. We have also seen the tribal areas leading these demonstrations and leading the protest against the king. We have seen people who have never participated in any type of political demonstration going out and expressing their protest against the current regime's practices, which range from arrest of activists to avoiding true reform and insisting on maintaining basically full power and full control of the three branches of government.
Well, obviously, people have gripes. We're going to get into that, to say the least. But we're looking at this dissolution of parliament, dissolving of parliament by the king, and calling for elections. But what is this going to do? I mean, he's replaced as prime minister, even though one resigned four times in the past. What makes him think this time around it's going to work?
Well, the belief is that with the constitutional reforms which he proposed and the parliament adopted, which many Jordanians, myself included, believe were actually superficial and did not affect the power structure in Jordan, which is mainly controlled by the king and a very, very small group of individuals who are loyalists, old guard, we call them, as well as intelligence officers. And this is basically a formality. A lot of Jordanians are not happy with this total control of government. And a lot of Jordanians understand that there is that the king is really in full control of the three branches, although it's not stated in the constitution. But there are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, which we all understand to be, how the king has been running the country. And people are honestly not happy with the king, claims that he's fighting corruption, with his claims that he's going to open up the process, the political process. And basically, there is really no change from 2 years ago when these demonstrations started to appear in Jordan.
Well, it's a very long list. Maybe we should get into it of what Jordanians want, Nasser al-Omari. I'm looking down this list. It's quite a chokehold. It appears that King Abdullah has democratic electoral law, constitutional changes, parliamentary governments, as you mentioned, the independent judiciary, a constitutional court, effective anti-corruption efforts, preventing security services from interfering in political life. I mean, it doesn't, given the number of complaints that Jordanians have, how is the king going to be able to fulfill any of those, which obviously all rank very high based on what we saw in the protests today?
Well, I think that there is now a deep concern that the king never really intended to touch the power structure in the country. There was a lot of cosmetic surgery to the political process. I think the regime would like people to believe that there is genuine reform going on. What people see in reality, though, is in sharp contrast to what the world is being told about Jordan. For example, close to 20 people, if I'm not mistaken, maybe fewer than that, are in jail for expressing their opinions and their political views. We have, not a single major figure, corrupt figure, has been brought to justice. If you look at how the country is run, it's through appointed prime ministers who do not have true power. It's all in the hands of the king. People understand that very well. I personally, I think the king missed a valuable opportunity to move Jordan toward constitutional monarchy, and I'm afraid the volume and the crescendo of objections will now increase across the country right after we hold the next parliamentary election,
which is going to be boycotted. What kind of election is that going to have when the majority of the opposition is not going to be attending it or voting for it?
And this is what is so curious about these upcoming elections. There are 2 million people who have registered. The process of registering these people is suspect. Some people claim that they have been registered without their knowledge. The government used its apparatus to register people in this process. It's a curious step because you want to move the country to participation, and now you have close to half of the people who can register and elect are basically objecting to the whole process. So basically, we're going to go to square one right after the parliamentary election is held. And we will see a majority of people feeling left out of the process. That is why you are left to scratch your head when you see how the king decided to manage reform. A lot of people like myself can't understand why the king made these choices. We hope that in the time left, maybe something will be done to promise people a true reform and a true change. At this point, I am not so sure that it's possible. We're all hoping that we will avoid these confrontations. We will avoid the hundreds of thousands of people left out of the process. It's now almost certain that we're going to have these elections with a huge number of people not participating.
Once the election, of course, date gets announced, let's paint the picture here about the landscape of the demographics that exist in Jordan. And I'd like to have your reflection on what the head of the Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan has said regarding this parliament being dissolved. He said that a concessionary move by the monarch to dissolve a rubber stamp tribal-dominated parliaments, which is not enough. What does he mean, the reference he makes to tribal-dominated?
Well, this is the traditional the base of support for the regime in Jordan even before King Abdullah II. And these are basically large tribes in Jordan, and they represent, as you mentioned, probably close to 50, maybe less than 50% of the population. I lived in Jordan for a very long time, and these people were basically helped to get to that elected office. Intelligence services helped these people to get elected. Even among these tribes, these figures are chosen based on their loyalty to the king. And that base of support, I think, has eroded. And now we need a new way to do politics in Jordan. Unfortunately, I think the king has chosen this path of holding on to power, unlimited power, and people feel left out of the process.
Well, let's look at what the king has said, which sheds light about the approach that, or the posturing that he has. He has said, and I'm quoting King Abdullah, "As constitutional monarch, my mandate is to be the umbrella for all political groupings and all segments of our society. And as part of that responsibility," which in essence, he wants to be the monarch, as the definition goes, to dictate. But that's not going to work. It hasn't worked. And we're seeing his Jordan falling apart. These protests have been taking place since early 2011. So, given that approach and posturing by the king, when you talk about going back to square one or having enough time, do you think that the time is up for the king if he doesn't change his position?
I think that he has not offered a solution to this basic problem in the country. And his proposal that he will continue to oversee the process has not worked. Jordanians have actually witnessed the under privatization. Outright theft of the country. The privatization has basically transferred a lot of companies, a lot of national resources to people who are close to the king. Corruption has been a major problem since King Abdullah II took office. So that claim that he oversees the whole process and he somehow makes sure that the system works is now suspicious. I personally don't believe it, and I think we need more responsible governments to take over, and we need parliaments that are not handpicked by the regime to make sure that there is true control of how governments do business. So I think we have not moved. Actually, things has gotten worse, nothing has changed in this picture. And I believe we will probably see more and more people protesting that style of governing, which has not contributed either to the economic development of the country. So you have an economy that is suffering, you have a political process that is suffering, you have a traditional base of support that is abandoning the king. And you have a lot of people who are left out of the process. I think we are looking at political failure, and in the next year we will see the manifestations of that failure.
Let me introduce author and Middle East expert from Belfast, Dr. Saab Shath, who joins us right now to elaborate more on what is going on with Jordan. Dr. Saab Shath, thanks so much for joining us. We're looking at the situation in Jordan, and the scenario seems to be that the king and his supporters will be coming to a head-to-head, so to speak, with the Muslim Brotherhood of Jordan, which is branched there as the IAF, the Islamic Action Front, which has announced that it's going to boycott the upcoming vote, whatever is going to happen. And the king has said that that's a tremendous miscalculation. Tell us the posturing of the MB. And their supporters. Do you think that their incentive to come out with this boycott is coming along with their opposition and protests from the Islamist win in Tunisia and in Egypt?
Jordan will differ a little bit in here, since historically the Muslim Brotherhood, they were embedded with the kingdom, the royal family in Jordan. Was their like godfather was the late King Hussein himself. So with the king, they will be differences. How the government will run the show. They will accept the king. They will accept the monarch. They are a tool at the end of the day to the king. This is the top leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood. But at the same time, there is the people who's in the other camp trying to discredit the Islamic movement and calling it it's the Palestinian rooted, it's the Hamas-controlled movement. to play the national card and the Palestinian card in Jordan to weaken the opposition the Jordanian system. And that, the King Abdullah has preempted the whole march of the day by dissolving the parliament and ordered the new election. The Muslim Brotherhood, all as opposition parties have, they decided to boycott, the election, since they think there is a lack of serious reform in here of what the king and his camp proposing. There is a deep-rooted need in Jordan for reform, social reform, economical reform, political reform. But the entity Jordan, as I said earlier on today, it's an artificial entity. It's a slice of historical Palestine, and it has political and military as well role linked to it and linked to its existence as well to keep the Zionist regime secure and to play as a buffer zone and to keep resistance or the Palestinians away from attacking.
Right. Well, Nasser al-Omari, I'd like to come back to you. It seems like Jordanians convinced that, as they show today, neither sacking a prime minister nor forming a government is going to solve the problem. Their solution, they say, is a parliament elected by the will of the people and for a prime minister and government to emerge from that. Is there one particular personality or leader that's emerging or that has been there that you see is going to be heading Jordan, not only in terms of prime minister, but also in case things get from bad to worse, were the king to fall?
I doubt that we are at the stage where we are talking about the downfall of the King of Jordan. I think we are at a stage where more people are joining the opposition. And I think things will become extremely dangerous right after the parliamentary election. But as far as national personalities are concerned, I think there are a lot of Jordanians. Jordan is known for its educated elite. And there are a lot of national figures who can contribute to the political process and can play a leadership role. But again, we're talking about a regime that has hand-picked individuals and groomed them for these positions of power. And these people have benefited from the economy. They have benefited tremendously.
Okay. I'm sorry I got to jump in here. We're unfortunately fresh out of time. Nasser al-Omari, thank you very much. From New York, writer and political commentator. I'd also like to thank Dr. Saab Shath, who's an author and Middle East expert from Belfast. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis from Ikove Tafwai and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.